I've got a couple of pictures that I'm going to put up on the screen. The first one here, can somebody tell me what's going on here? What's happening? What's that? It shifted, yeah? Yep. What do you think is causing, so this is concrete around a post, it's a fence, right? Ground eroded away. Okay, so the ground is kind of settling and causing this to look like it's coming up, okay? Minnesota frost. Explain that to me. Minnesota frost. Freeze-thaw cycle. Okay, see, so if you need a construction question answered, he is your guy. He is your guy. Yeah, he knows his stuff. That's exactly right. So in Minnesota, we have this thing called frost, and frost goes down, and it does something to buildings and to concrete like this. It pushes things up. Now look at this picture. What do you think happened to this house?
Up in Alaska, the frost boils.
Frost boils, yeah. So what happens is, again, the freeze-thaw cycle. As a contractor, I get this is stuff that I deal with. Or I don't deal with this all the time, but I have to prevent this from happening as a contractor. And so what you have to do, because we live in a cold climate, the frost, you know how cold it's been, right? And the frost goes down into the ground to a certain depth. And if the frost gets under anything, like a stone, have you ever had it where in your yard, all of a sudden there's a rock sticking up? And like, where did that rock come from? What happens is frost goes underneath, and as it thaws on the top, it's still frozen on the bottom, and it kind of pushes whatever's down there up. It takes years, but it pushes things up. And so as a contractor, I know that I have to, whatever I dig a foundation or drill a hole for a foundation, it has to go below frost so that it doesn't get underneath and push it up. This foundation here was dug, and probably dug what they thought was good enough. Maybe it was even just put right on cement on the ground. But what happens is frost got underneath, and then it pushed up on the structure and totally destroying the structure. I don't know if you know this or not, but in our area here, we are required as contractors, when we're building a house or we're building a deck, our footings, which is the concrete foundation, has to go down 60 inches. 5 feet in order to prevent frost from going underneath. But if you go down to Bram, just about Bram, maybe just a little south of Bram, not much, even in Bram is cut in half. That's 48 inches. Isn't that beautiful? We are at 60 inches, so you got to dig more, you got to get deeper, but that is so that this doesn't happen. We want a solid foundation in any home that we build, any attachment to a home that we put in, it has to be below frost so that the foundation doesn't fall apart. So why do I bring up this whole idea of foundations? It's because Jesus gives us a teaching that is quite similar. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, we'll go through that. It'll be on your screen. If you have your Bible, you can follow along there. Verse 24 says this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. We've got a cinder block here. Foundations can be made up with multiple cinder blocks put together, cemented together. Jesus is like saying, like, if you want to build something that is, if you're wise, which I think, if I were to ask you, do you want to be wise? I think you'd say, I want to be wise, right? You want to be wise. Jesus is saying, if you want to be wise, you're going to build your life on a house on a solid rock. What's the alternative? Well, the alternative to wisdom is foolishness. What does the wise life require? It requires listening to and following the teachings of Jesus. Just like building on a firm foundation, just like building on cement blocks. Verse 25. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. we don't live on a lot of like sandy soil or like where water is coming up and eroding the sand away. Like somebody thought that maybe the earth was falling away from those posts. We don't live into that context. Our context would have to do with winter, right? We have winter issues, frost driven down into the ground and pushing the stuff up. Yet we need to, the wise person will live in a place where the structure of our lives is on a foundation that goes beyond our troubles. Our foundation has to go beyond our troubles in order to not be uprooted, in order to not be wrecked, and our lives be upside down. Verse 26. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, see, there's a combination thing here. There's the listening and the obeying. There's plenty of people that you and I probably know that have listened a lot to teaching, but have done nothing with it. If you do nothing with it, you are being foolish. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like the person who builds on sand. Here's what happens to those who hear his teaching but refuse to listen. Jesus said that you are foolish. Notice Jesus isn't calling the one who doesn't listen to him a fool. One who hasn't heard his voice, hasn't heard his teachings. He doesn't call them a fool. Usually the people who listen to the teaching oftentimes consider themselves wise, whether they do what they're told or not. But not according to Jesus. The fool is the one who listens and does not do. Verse 27, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty force, a mighty crash. These are people who have a faulty foundation. The frost has gotten underneath the structure of your life or their lives, and it's heaved your life, and it's quite possible life feels like it's in ruin. But there is hope. There is hope for you and for them. The structure can be put on a new foundation. One that doesn't move, one that doesn't shift, one that doesn't alter, but that is solid, certain, and immovable. It's going to take some work. That's all. It's going to take some work. This parable Jesus is telling us is fitting as we walk through soul care. The ideal is that our lives are solid and immovable and sure, but we have a lot of situations in our lives, probably in yours, that have wounded our souls, which is like the frost going beneath the foundation, and then our foundation is crumbling. We need to found the firm foundation of Christ. Last week, we began looking into the symptoms of the lies that we believed. Kind of like I was talking about COVID, if 2 weeks ago, I should say. COVID, if you had COVID, I knew I had COVID because here are the signs. Loss of taste, loss of smell, body aches, headache, exhaustion. I had all of those things in the time that they said COVID was coming around. I've been sick plenty of times. I've never lost my sense of taste and smell, but that time I did. When I did that, these symptoms added up that I have COVID. That was what I came to, the conclusion that I came to. But we looked at the symptoms of the sin, and now we were looking also at what is the sin that the symptoms are showing. Right? The symptoms are things in our lives that cause us to live and act and do things that are not of God. Here are some of the lies that we believe, the root from the symptoms. One is a performance lie. We talked about this, that maybe we feel like we have to act a certain way in order for people to feel like we're loved or lovable. You got to perform in order to get the pleasure of others. And that's a lie from the enemy. Another lie that we oftentimes believe is the people-pleasing lie. this lie is that we feel like everyone needs to be okay in order for us to be okay. So you strive and toil and do all that you can to make sure everybody around you is happy until you discover that there is one in this situation that is not happy, and that is you. We believe the lie that everybody has to be happy, but that's a lie. The third lie that we talked about 2 weeks ago was the lie of control, the lie that you always have to be in control. And if you have no control, you have no peace. That's a lie from the enemy. And sometimes we've built our foundations of our lives on these lies that the frost is getting underneath and it is causing chaos in your life. So what do we do about it? Do we just give up? It is what it is. I hope not. That's why we're going through soul care, because it's not the way it is. You see, what we need to do, we've started on a foundation that we know is faulty. We know is upside down. We know is making our lives look like that house on the screen. But we can work on putting a new foundation under our lives and begin tearing down the lies that destroy our soul. It takes work, but it can be done. The first step into building this new foundation in our lives, I have 5 steps. Number one, we need to determine our value. We need to determine our value, and this is found in the book, and I'll reference where in the book in a moment. See, if your value in life is determined by your performance or your people-pleasing or your control, your foundation has been very shaky. If wisdom is listening to and trusting the words of Jesus, then we need to listen to and trust in the words about us. Jesus says some things about us that we need to hear and we need to put our feet firmly upon. Here are some examples. I have quite a few. And if it's too fast for you, I apologize. Again, this is where those slides will be helpful. If you have them, you can reference them later. If you're quick to jot notes down, we probably won't have time for you to find them in Scripture. I'll have them on the screen. First one, if you said yes to Jesus and you're beginning a new foundation, the first thing is John chapter 1, verse 12. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. And here's what John 1 12 says, but to all, everyone who believed in him, Jesus, and accepted him, so it's believe and accepted, okay, two parts, he gave the right to become children of God. If you've not believed in him and you've not accepted him, I'm sorry, but you're not a child of God. When we receive the gift that's free, you don't have to work for it. When we receive the gift of of being accepted by God, we are now a child of God, not before. That's a foundation we can stand on. Second one, Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. That might not mean a whole lot to you. What does salt do? Well, salt, I love salt. Just to be honest, I love salt. I would go out for breakfast with Mark Peterson. And every time I'd, you know, get my eggs and we'd be chatting, I'd grab the salt shaker and I'd start sprinkling my eggs. He would do like a blizzard sound. Like, okay. I love salt because it tastes good. But it also does something it preserves. It preserves stuff. Salt, you are the salt of the earth. You are to be a good flavor and you ought to preserve the word of God. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13 says this, is Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Have you known some Jesus, or maybe Christians is a better term, who claim to be Jesus followers, but they really aren't nice to be around? I feel like they've lost their saltiness, right? They're salty. Yeah, that's one way to put it. Jesus says also, you are the light of the world. You see, a light is meant to be seen. And he says, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. We are intended to be bright lights pointing to the light giver, which is Jesus himself. These are foundation pieces that we can establish and put our feet on. John chapter 15, verse 15 says that, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Oh, a friend of Jesus? The risen Savior, Jesus Christ? You are a friend. And if you feel like, if you feel like you've got to work hard to try to gain God's favor, that is not a friend. That's not a friend. A friend is one that's like, hey, come on over. I just want to be able to spend some time with you. Tell me about your life. I'm going to give you a tissue and I'm going to take one because what you're going through hurts me too. That's a friend. Do you know that Jesus? That is this Jesus. If you haven't stood on that foundation, digging so deep that you can stand on that, friend, you're missing out. You're missing out. Jesus calls you a friend if you've trusted in him. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. We are branches of God. Okay, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I'll tell you in a minute. Those who remain in me cling to him, and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart of me, you can do nothing. Have you ever been frustrated that you just aren't being as godly as you want to be? Sometimes I think we work so hard to produce better fruit by trying to force better fruit out. Instead, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. All that a branch has to do to produce good fruit is cling to the vine. Natural byproduct is fruit. And we have that opportunity to cling to Jesus. Lord, I don't need to work harder at being better. I need to work harder at clinging to you, and the better will naturally come out. Part of the foundation is saying, Jesus, my time is not yours. And so I want this fruit to come out of me, but I'm not going to force the fruit. I'm going to just wait on you. Sometimes we just need to wait. Something else Jesus says is that we are a new creation. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Do you stand on the foundation of a new life? Or do you feel like, well, I'm not good enough for that, so I'm going to keep standing on this faulty foundation. I don't know if I can ever be over there. I'm not good. I did all these things wrong. My life and people hate me, and I could never stand there. I'm just going to stay here because it's comfortable. No, the old is gone. That foundation is totally wiped out. You have a new foundation found in Christ. You can stand on that. You're brand new. This is one that I love. You are God's masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece. You know that you're a masterpiece. Do you know how proud the artist is of their masterpiece? Do you know how beautiful the masterpiece is? Do you know how cherished they are? You don't just take a masterpiece and throw it on the ground and walk over it. No, you display it. You show people, look at what I've created. I want to show you this thing. You are a masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus so that there's a reason. We can do the good things he proclaimed for us or planned for us long ago. He's not going to make you a new thing just for your own good. He's going to make you a new thing for the good of everybody around, including yourself. Are you standing on that foundation? The new foundation that goes beyond the frost of the troubles. That's a foundation I promise is worth standing on. Here are a couple things that Rob says in pages 58 and 59. The issue of your value is settled at the cross. On the cross, the Father said to you and to me, you are of infinite worth to me. I declare you to be worthy of my son's blood. Upon this foundation, that you are worthy, you can find peace, love, acceptance, security, significance, and all that you need in life. How much of your life has been working hard to try to find this peace, love, acceptance, security, and significance, yet to find it crumble because you're looking into the wrong thing? When we put our feet on the foundation of Jesus Christ, our value has been settled at the cross. You don't have to search for it because you're standing on the peace and the love of Jesus. That was the first one. The first step to building a new foundation is determining your value. The second is you need to identify the lies. You need to identify the lies. This is what we, I don't know if you were here, you maybe remember this. We did a timeline. We did this timeline. Levi, could you pull it up? I think I have it on there. There we go. We did this timeline, and this is like your birth, and this is your current age. And these are highs in life and lows in life. And the younger you are, that you remember some highs, and you're supposed to mark some things in your life and then some lows in your life. And we talked about what things we believe about ourselves based on some of these points that we pointed out in our lives. Did anybody find times where you believed something that was not true, some underlying lie that came through? I see some heads nodding. Sometimes the lie comes from down here. I'm not worth it. I'm unworthy. I'm awful. Those are lies that come through into our lives. Sometimes the lies actually are up here. Well, I did really well, and so in order for me to be accepted, I need to keep doing well. We need to identify what the lies are that have come through in our lives. Because what we do is those lies we begin to set in as a foundation in our lives. And then if we don't get the thing that we're craving because our history says that we need it, then our foundation is getting crumbled. It's falling apart. It's getting heaved up. And our life is upside down. A lot of times we go right to the symptom, but the symptom is not the cause. The cause is the root. And so what is the root lie that comes through in your timeline? Maybe there's multiple. That happens. Anybody find that this has been a valuable tool to help walk through some of the stuff you maybe hadn't thought through? Yeah, some of you have? Okay. This was a big one for me. I just mentioned to David and Cynthia that Angie and I went to some counseling, and this was back in 2011. Part of my requirement going in my first full-time ministry was we had to do some marriage counseling. I told her on our way out to Green Bay, we were in Sheboygan, about an hour south of Green Bay. On our drive up, I'm like, Ange, I'm sorry, it's going to be really tough for you. They've got some things. I think I was a little more gentle than that, but I like to tell the story like I'm, yeah. So ask her for the real story, okay, on a separate time. So we're driving up, and I'm like, Ange, I'm sorry, this is going to be really tough for you. It's going to be really hard. And she looks at me. She says, Jesse. She says, I know my junk. You don't know yours. And she was absolutely right. This was one practice we went through, which identified a lie in my life that they spent like 8 hours on me to work through. And it was transformational. It was painful. But it was worth it. So first, we need to determine our value. Second, we need to identify the lies that we believe. And thirdly, we need to reposition our issue of value. We need to reposition our issue of value. It's one thing to determine the value, but now we need to say, I need to step off of my old value, my old foundation, and step onto something new. Here's what Rob says on page 61. You have to hold on to the truth at the exact moment when you are being assaulted with the lie. So if you've found that there's a lie that keeps coming through, I'm not good enough, I'm so horrible. The words that keep coming into my mind when I do something wrong, you're such an idiot. And that's a lie that I've internalized, and I need to now begin working on a new foundation. Lord, you didn't call me an idiot. You called me a loved one, and one that you're working in, and I'm a masterpiece, and all these things need to start coming. My value is not determined on how good I do or how bad I do. It's been assigned at the cross. We need to reposition our value. At the moment sin creeps in, the moment we believe that lie, we need to reposition ourselves with who we really are, put ourselves on the new foundation. Page 62, Rob says this: the more consistently you catch yourself standing on a faulty foundation and use that as an opportunity to renew your mind, the more secure the true foundation will become under your feet, and the healthier your soul will be. This is what it looks like to hold on to the truth so that the truth can set you free. Jesse, you're such an idiot. Such an idiot. I can't believe you did that again. Well, hold on a second. God told me that I'm his child, and I'm loved, deeply loved by him. So, he says that I'm his masterpiece, and that I can trust in him. And that even if I mess up, I'm worthy of him, because he paid the price at the cross. He's not going to redo that because I've sinned. But Jesse, you don't understand. Do you understand how you're a pastor? You shouldn't be thinking those things. You shouldn't be just passing that person by. Do something with, but you're such an idiot, Jesse. Oh, yeah. Jesus calls me a masterpiece, and I'm his child. I'm not a slave to him. I'm his friend, and he says that I'm worthy of him. But Jesse, remember that? No, remember, I'm standing on this foundation. I'm gonna trust that it's true, even if I don't feel it. I'm going to trust it's true. We need to, the moment we recognize that we're living in the lie, we need to reposition ourselves onto the foundation of Christ. So practically, how does this work in your life? Let's say that somebody close to you has asked to talk to you about something that you've done that's hurt them. And before the meeting, you plan your attack, right? You argue with yourself why they're the ones that are in the wrong. They misunderstood your heart. They're actually the ones who have the bad attitude, not you. You have fear because you don't want this relationship to break down, and now you feel stuck. Do you defend yourself? That's what you've always done. Or do you agree with them just to make them happy? That's the faulty foundation that we might typically have stood on. How might you approach this conversation if you know that the most important relationship in your life will not change regardless of the outcome of that situation? Because Jesus already declared you valuable, whether they think you're valuable or not, whether they're happy with you or not, whether you acted perfectly or not. Your position before Christ is valuable. And if you can stand walking into this conversation knowing that you are loved and valued by Christ, will that guide you into the next conversation? I hope so. I believe that if we set our foundation on Jesus, you can work through situations with peace and confidence in humility. Let me say that again. I believe that if we set our foundation on Jesus Christ, we can work through situations with peace and confidence in humility. Because that's what Jesus did, right? He was never worried what other people thought, because he was always in right relationship with God. Always. If we replace our old foundation of fear with the new foundation of peace, these situations won't destroy us. Because remember, your value has been settled at the foot of the cross. It's done. Jesus said, it is finished. I believe that's part of what he's saying. The next step to building a new foundation, number four, we have two more. Number four, access the presence of the Spirit. Access the presence of the Spirit. Here's what Rob says on pages 62 and 63, I believe. Yes. Create some space for God to reveal himself and his love to you. Give the Holy Spirit space to speak and reveal his love to you. Often in the middle of conflict, I, Rob, would give the Holy Spirit a moment of quiet to reassert his love for me. He would whisper the truth of his affections to my soul again, and my internal tremors would quiet down. Some days I need a fresh dip in the outpouring of his love in order to secure the foundation under my feet. If you feel the stirring in you and you feel yourself standing on the faulty foundation again, sometimes we just need to take a step back and sit again, stand again on the foundation of Jesus' truth. That Jesus, this is who you said I am. And I'm just going to bask in you and your love for me, that I can walk into this again settled in peace, knowing that I'm good because I'm your child. So do you take time to simply allow God to wash over you with his love? Do you allow silence or reading, listening to worship music? Silence is hard for me. I've mentioned that 100 times. You all know that about me. Silence is hard for me. I've been trying to get better at that. I've been working on that. I've been listening to a really great little worship set. There's a few of them out there. It's like 45 minutes of like this conglomeration, this mashup of several worship songs. NB Worship, if you're interested, New Balance. It's not New Balance. NB, I don't know what it means, but NB Worship, and it's an acoustic set. Just so beautiful. And just check it out. You can find it on Apple Music, or I know it's on YouTube. You can find it on anything. But I've just been loving sitting and worshiping with this song, these songs in the background. It's been beautiful. But maybe that's something you need to do. Maybe this week I want to encourage you to make a commitment to just bask in the love of Jesus so that you're working on standing on the foundation that is immovable. So number four was accessing the presence of the Spirit. And lastly, number five, we need to act in courage. Because the walk with Jesus is not for the faint of heart. It's going to take courage to follow Jesus. But I'll tell you what, courage breeds strength. When you step out in courage, you're strengthened. Passivity breeds deeper passivity. God calls us to courage, and he will give us strength. Rob says this on pages 64 and 65. You have to act on the truth in order for the truth to become a firm foundation under your feet. Don't wait for God to make you feel better before you act. This is a daily process. It is not an event. Shifting your life onto the sure foundation of God's love is going to take time, and there aren't any shortcuts. It's going to take time, and it will take courage. But isn't the result so much better? You've tried, and I've tried. Our lives have really worked hard to build our foundation on things that are going to create havoc, nastiness. And it hasn't worked yet. Why not stand on the foundation of Christ? Okay, two special cases, toxic shame. The belief that you're not lovable. Anybody have that sense inside of them? You're not lovable? That is, there's a special case with this. And so Rob says on page 66, to break toxic shame, I don't know if I have it up there, to break toxic shame, you must get your eyes off of yourself and onto Jesus. Toxic shame, ironically, is the flip side of the coin of pride. To break free from this shame, you have to repent of pride. If you feel this sense of I'm shame prone, I can never be good enough, I can never stand on, I could never be what God wants me to be, that's toxic shame. And what Rob is saying is that we need to repent of the pride that's within us. Second special case is we may have a bent will. This typically happens in a home if you were abused physically, emotionally, sexually, spiritually. Or if you were bullied, you might have a bent will. You may feel like you always have to bend to the will of another person. Another way to put this is you just always feel like a victim. Always a victim. Rob says on page 67, the reality is that you may have been victimized, but you're not a victim. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. The key to breaking toxic shame and a bent will is to get your eyes off of yourself and on to God. David, we were talking earlier about this has really caused you to start looking deeper inside. Scary, yeah. But how beautiful that is. Because when we can start working on this stuff on the inside, we can start living on a new foundation. It's so beautiful, but it's so hard, especially if you deal with toxic shame or a bent will. But we need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put our focus onto God. As I wrap this up here, a couple closing statements here. Rob says this on page 70. Identity is not something that is achieved by your performance or by your control or by how people perceive you. Identity is a gift that is received from a loving Father who has adopted you because he wanted you and chose you to be in his family. Your identity has been claimed if you say yes to Jesus. Friends, I said not everybody's a child of God. Only those have said yes to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you, have you trusted in Jesus? He is the one who is wanting to give you a permanent, solid, immovable foundation. The problem is that not every person has this opportunity or even receives the opportunity. Only those people who place their trust in Jesus can have this firm foundation. If you don't trust in him, you're going to have more upset that is going to destroy more of your life. Being a good moral person isn't enough. Giving your money away will not work. Countering the bad you've done with the good will never, ever work. It's only in Jesus Christ that we can have this firm foundation. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You see, he is either right, and if Jesus is right, we better listen, or he's wrong. And if Jesus is wrong, what are we doing here? What a pointless waste of an hour and a half of our lives. Our soul doesn't matter. Our lives are meaningless. You and I both believe that that can't be true. So Jesus must be right. Will you trust in him today if you haven't? It's simple, but it's not easy. Simple, it's simply saying with your whole heart something to the Lord and receiving the gift that he gives every one of us, if we're willing. It's saying something like this. Jesus, I've tried to live on my own and it hasn't worked because my foundation is crumbling. But I want you to rebuild a new foundation in me so that I can stand on who you declare me to be. And I'm trusting you today. Simple as something like that. But the hard part is when you're living it out, will you stand on that new foundation, the new creation that God has created you to be? But if you said that in your heart, would you please be brave and tell me? It takes courage to tell somebody. Tell me, tell someone at your table, tell someone near you, tell someone who says hi to you before you leave. Will you tell somebody that you've said yes to Jesus? Because we want to celebrate that you're building on a new foundation.